Thank you, Laura, for reading our scripture passage from Acts this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. In 1964, Marvin Glass and Associates designed a toy that would soon take the entire country by storm. The toy was a two-player action game that featured two dueling robot boxers, one red and one blue. And the toy was Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It was still a popular toy when I was growing up in the early 90s, and I can remember the intense battles, the fierce finger strength, and that sound of defeat or victory. Meh. Some of you might remember that too. And if you remember, when you lost, your robot's head would shoot up as if its head popped off, and it would make that sound, meh. Two robot boxers duking it out in one ring, one winner and one with its mind blown. At first glance, Paul is a fighter. Since chapter 9, when Paul first enters the story on the side of Jesus and resurrection, he jumps into the ring wherever and with whoever. He jumps in Damascus, preaching and arguing. However, religious hardliners plot to kill him. He moves on to Jerusalem. He preaches and argues with Hellenists, but they too attempt to kill him. Then the Jerusalem council reassigns him to go far away, to go to new lands and cultures, to Caesarea and to Tarsus. He jumps on a ship with John and Barnabas to Cyprus to continue preaching and arguing. In one of those cities, when one of the local leaders greatly opposed his preaching, Paul hit back by saying, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" In Iconomia, Lystra, Derbe, in each of those places, arrives, preaches, argues, and escapes just before being stoned to death. In worship last week, we gathered to hear of his time in Philippi, where Paul and Silas were bound in jail with no money to post their bail for freeing a woman whose gifts and works were being exploited by men. Paul jumps back into the ring this morning, but this time he is in Athens. And we know better than most about Athens. It's a university town filled with scholars vying to prove what is true and wise to live by. And so Paul enters and does what Paul does. He preaches and begins to argue. Have you met religious folk like that before? Always ready to go to battle? It can be annoying, uncomfortable, and even embarrassing when it's someone using the Christian tradition. Every time I have walked over the Main Street Bridge to get to Ohio Stadium, there is someone there on a megaphone screaming, "Repent! Turn to Jesus, your Lord and Savior." I must admit that I do my best to avoid eye contact. Meanwhile, I feel the need to convince those that I'm with that I'm not that kind of Christian. Right? The kind of Christian ready to wield scripture like a fist. And no matter if you're a Christian or not, somehow when you begin to engage, you're on team devil and they are on team Jesus. Some Christians make it hard to be Christian. Using faith as a megaphone to say why people are unworthy, less than, why some people should not be given food or assistance, or why immigrants should be denied sanctuary, or why quality health care is not for everyone. They stand in the ring. Jesus tells me that people need to pull themselves up, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that the current occupant of the White House is Jesus Christ. At first glance, Paul appears to be a fighter just like this. Surely we too would have tried to avoid him in the public square or hope he would be removed from that street corner until we ask the question, so what? What is Paul getting at? And why is it important for us this morning? In seminary, our constructive theology professor always asked us that question. So what? We had UCCers, Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, and Catholics, all studying theology in the same room. And so it was common for someone to dig in and argue their way was the right way or the only way. The church is the city on the hill. God is a woman. God liberates the oppressed. Now, Dr. Niles, she would never dismiss our theology. She never said we were way off or we were wrong. Instead, she would say, so what? What does that understanding, what does your relationship with God let you do? What does that tell you about how God is moving in the world? Today, without a doubt, the loudest voices of our faith come from Christian nationalists. When it is said that God favors America more than any other nation, that God's purpose is to make our country the greatest. The so what is that no matter what we do that makes us powerful or wealthier, it is God's will. So it means that we can ignore our impact on the environment. We can make immigrants or refugees disappear. We can kidnap leaders or attack any other country that comes between us and prosperity. Notice this theology is not about God, but about human power, economic, social, even racial. What will serve my investments and savings? What will serve my comfort level? What will keep me elected? And I'll find a way for Jesus to support that. We are living in a time when Jesus is used as a mascot, not a Messiah. You see, a mascot is a character or animal used by fans of a particular team. The mascot is displayed to entertain and celebrate. But notice the mascot does not have any real power. The mascot does not have any authority. They are simply characters that are licensed or owned by a particular group or institution to hype a crowd and make them feel good. People want to preach Jesus, but not preach what Jesus preached. And if they did, their so what would change. If so, the $50 billion already spent on this reckless war in Iran would be invested in Jesus's so what, which is in tandem with the biblical prophets Isaiah, Amos, Micah, and Jeremiah, which for Jesus in Matthew 25, ultimately an authentic relationship in God leads people to care for those most in need. And then there is the golden rule, which argues one is to treat others as they would like to be treated. This covers all cruelty, exploitation, and discrimination. Jesus makes it very clear that anyone who claims to follow him doesn't get to hate anybody for any reason, no matter what. No, yeah, buts. It's about living in right relationship, justice for everyone, especially those crying out. Many religious leaders point to Jesus, finding awe in his teachings. In fact, it was Gandhi who said, "I would be a Christian." Yeah, Gandhi said, "I'd be a Christian if it were not for Christians." Gandhi was moved by the Messiah, but not by the mascot. Moved by universal compassion, but not a tool, an idol for power. Just the other week, the entire world watched four astronauts go into space and then splash down in the ocean. When pilot Victor Glover came back, he said, "Thank God. Thank God, and thank God." But it was the other pilot's words that blew me away when, and maybe you heard this, when he said, "I'm not religious, but if you could have seen what I saw, something came over me." He kept saying, "I'm not religious, but I saw something that I can't explain with my human vocabulary." And then there's the story that is, they went to this room after splashing down, and the chaplain comes in. And when he saw the cross, he started to cry. He remembered what he saw on the spaceship. And he realized, I'm not religious, but there is something bigger than me. There is something more powerful than me. There is something at work in this world that I can't quite explain. Even though we are religious, we often take for granted how precious the teachings and life of Jesus are, the Messiah we claim to follow, and how he points to something bigger and more powerful at work in this world. I may not be religious, I may not come to your church, but thank you for showing up for LGBTQIA people here in town. I may not be religious and I may not go to your church, but thank you for giving me a gas card when I needed it most, for food, for birthday supplies to celebrate my child. I may not be religious, but you are the first one to really see and love all of me, including my mistakes. You don't need to be Christian to recognize or appreciate or be in awe of a deeper love that functions at a different level. And more than any other time in our lives, and perhaps in the history of the world, has there been a moment when people have been so thirsty for some good news. There is a need for people to embody that love, to proclaim it, to argue it. Paul is a fighter, but not for a mascot, but with a living Messiah who continues to heal the sick and advocate for those on the margins, and through the eyes of God steps in to say, "Will you stop at nothing, making crooked the straight places of God? Will you stop keeping people from what they really need?" This is our work. Because it's the work of Jesus. Every day, every interaction, we have been called to grow in our understanding of the good news and to proclaim it to everyone. While arguing with someone on the Main Street Bridge before a Buckeyes game may not be ideal, what would it look like to engage others whose good news is really bad news for someone else? It could look like asking a simple question such as, what do you think it's like for parents who have to decide between paying the grocery bill, the utility bill, or the health care bill? Can you imagine working hard, contributing to the community, and then the terror of being picked up by masked men sent to a place you do not know? Do you worry that we aren't taking care of the planet? And our grandkids or kids will face environmental disasters we could have prevented in this moment. Tell me, if you follow Christ, where does Jesus endorse restricting resources or services that make people safer, healthier, happier? See, here's the thing, without Paul, the good news is not shared. Without stepping into difficult conversations about mascots and idols or injustice, the depth of God's love is not recognized. Without giving witness to the good news in a time of overwhelming bad news, people struggle to find hope. And so thanks be to God for Paul and all those who did not allow fear or despair have the final word, but fought for what is good and just and life-giving. And may we embrace the God in us to live like that, to live like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.